You are now listening to KMRO FM, aka Kamurocho Radio. It's a Yakuza podcast hosted by myself, Argyle, and with me as always is Jordan.
Kido!
Kido! Kido!
Kido! Yasuko!
Yasuko!
Hey everybody, it's the rooftop chapter. It's the chapter where they go up on a roof and then less people
go come back down from the roof. Yeah.
From the roof where Daigo was up on. Yes. Actually, Daigo wasn't up on the roof this time around.
No, he is, I don't know where he is right now. I guess he's in his office maybe.
He's probably in his office just having a completely
a meltdown.
I was going to say just a completely uneventful night.
Yeah.
He got up. He watched some Takeshi's Castle in the tradition of his papa.
Yeah.
Had a nice warm cup of pissy shitties.
Mm-hmm.
Which as we all know is Dr. Pepper and popcorn, I think.
Right. He inherited all of Sohei's box sets whenever he died. Yeah. That was all he was left in the will was you get all of my Takeshi's Castle.
And I guess you become the captain of the Tojo or of the Dojima family. Maybe. We'll see. Hey, this is an unprecedented week-to-week.
Don't say anything.
Recording.
Don't say anything.
Oh, sorry. Shit. Fuck. Okay.
Supposed to give the game away.
This week we're talking about Yakuza 4 Chapter 15, Chain of Betrayals.
It's actually Chapter 16.
God damn it.
It's part four, chapter four, Chain of Betrayal.
I'll re-record it. God damn it, Wilsey. You let me down again. This week we're talking about Yakuza 4, chapter 16. That's part four of part four. Chain of Betrayals.
Chain of Betrayal. That's correct, yeah.
we really gotta get in and watch the kill cam footage on these Chain of Betrayals to get to the bottom of what happened. Before we start talking about this chapter, got any Club Sega musings?
Not a ton. You know, I finished out Dondoko Island. You know, I've gotten it to 5 stars. I finished the story. I finished decorating to a point where I'm like satisfied with it. You know, I might go back at some point because I know you unlock more stuff through sub stories or other ways. So I might go back at some point and maybe, you know, wiggle some things around with the decorations or whatever. But I've got it to a point where I'm happy with it. So I'm actually back in Honolulu. I'm progressing the story.
Wonderful.
A little bit for the first time in a couple weeks.
I saw you made the Twin Peaks Red Room in Ichiban's house.
I did make the Red Room in the upstairs part of my house.
I touched that fucking house so little that I didn't know that you could get an upstairs. Oops!
Yeah, because to unlock the upgrades, I think you have to go into the house and then walk out of it during the day. Like, it can't be... Yeah. You can't go in and then end the day in there. Because you don't walk out and then you'll unlock the upgrades. I didn't do that until after I was at 5 stars.
Yeah, the house is really a place that I go to make it not the same day.
Uh-huh, exactly.
I felt the spirit calling me. Sometimes I just get these wild hairs, and I had been like just consumed for the past couple weeks with replaying Elden Ring. So yeah. I put down the brand new game that I've been playing and having a great time with to just replay that. But the good news is about Elden Ring is if you know where you're going and what you're doing, it is a breezy like 25 to 30 hour game.
No word.
Yeah, I'm like halfway through and I've only been playing for like 11 hours.
Nice. I never got anywhere near finishing Elden Ring.
It's a really, I mean, my thoughts on Elden Ring is that it's like a really cool game to play your first time. But then like on subsequent playthroughs, I'm just like, man, I just wish that they'd put this all in an order and made it a Dark Souls game.
The
open world doesn't add. I mean, the freeform like sense of exploration, like I can tackle these things in whatever order I like, is really really cool. And that's kind of that like classic like Legend of Zelda, like for the NES or even like Breath of the Wild type thing that has been kind of popular lately. And that's definitely worth something. But the problem is that if you do it in certain orders, you're basically like, kind of like how I was saying that you need to like modulate your own difficulty in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Yeah. You can just absolutely break certain parts of that game. And I've actually kind of lost track of like what level is supposed to be what, because I've just got two really strong katanas and it's just like, oh no. Nice. Oh, I broke the game a little bit.
Are you dual-wielding katanas, or are you just like...
Yeah, this build is just like no shield except for parrying, no magic, no summoning. I just want to see if I can go toe-to-toe with all the bosses and come out feeling like I've got a true, pure, sweaty gamer experience.
Uh-huh.
No fully upgraded mimic tier.
Yeah, you've got the H-Bomber guy build.
Oh yeah, I've got the H-Bomber guy... shields are bad build for sure. And honestly, you know, I hate to admit that H-Bomber guy's right about Dark Souls ever, but I am having considerably more fun with my two katanas than I ever had with my shield and my sorcery. But I think that's because I played the game once before and I like know what to expect and I'm able to like parry 90% of the enemies. Anyway, that's enough talking about Elden Ring. It's a great game, but it's not my favorite game.
Yeah. I haven't been playing Helldivers because it's been impossible to play over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just hundreds of thousands of people are playing it, and the servers are just at capacity all the time.
Damn.
So,
oh, I will also say, just while we're talking about other games, they just put out the Elden Ring DLC gameplay.
Yeah, I saw
for
that.
Shadow of the Erdtree.
I didn't watch it, cool. But I saw that it's out.
As an Elden Ring lore, I will say the other thing about Elden Ring is I fucking love all the lore. It's like my second favorite FromSoft lore next to Bloodborne, probably. Mm-hmm. So my cogs were like aggressively turning watching this trailer. Mm-hmm. So interesting. Okay, that's enough about this. Now we go back to our video game topic of choice. Let's talk about the chapter, Argyle.
Yeah.
Did you like it? This is where all of the trials and tribulations and highs and lows of Yakuza 4 start to converge on each other, and it's like, oh, some of this is good, and then some of this is I am questioning things, and I'm once again questioning. Listen, if this is your favorite game, or if this is one of your favorites, absolutely no shade. That's you do you. Everyone experiences media differently. I've never understood why people say this game has a good story. Ugh. It's got some really good stuff in it, but there's just a lot of parts where I'm just like, how? What? Why? Why is this happening?
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a mess. It's definitely better than Yakuza 3. It's definitely more involved, and I like the story on paper, but in practice, it's just like, what? So we begin this chapter in Serena with Date helping Tanimura nurse his wounds from being absolutely clobbered into the pavement by Kiryu last chapter, which I really like. I was thinking about this week, you know, because we get the showdown between what's his name? I keep wanting to say Kanemura, that's not right.
Katsuragi.
I want to say Munaka. Katsuragi, thank you. We get the showdown between Katsuragi and Kiryu this chapter, and it's like, I think that Kiryu is very funny because he doesn't kill people, right?
Yeah.
He just like hits you so hard that you just like, you just lose like in spiritual.
Yeah, you give up.
Like a, yeah, you he hits you so hard that you like lose at a philosophical level. Mm-hmm. But we see here that like,
yeah, he's like Luffy from One Piece, you know?
Right.
Like, he doesn't kill anyone.
he punches you so hard he shows that his ideals are better than yours, I guess, and therefore you lose and you lose the will to fight forever, and then you go to jail or die.
Yeah, basically.
But when he fights Akiyama and Tanimura, they're fine. They're just like nursing their wounds.
They're fine, now, yeah. That was just a misunderstanding.
Yeah, exactly. It's like his punches have like some sort of moral compass that he knows if the person who's punching, like, oh, is he holding back? No, I just think that it's that philosophy. If he hits you so hard, but you're
not a
bad guy.
Well, I think it's because it's like, you know, he met these two and he's like, he didn't even have a particular quarrel with them. It was, yeah, like I said, a misunderstanding. He didn't have time to hash out, like, here are our differences, here's why I'm beating you up, and here's the philosophy that I'm putting behind my fists. It's just, get out of my way, please. So he beat them up the same as he would any goon on the street.
Is it possible that his fists have... You know how, like, the Master Sword is, like, a sword that evil can't touch?
Uh-huh.
Maybe his fists are just imbued with, like, if you're a bad guy, it does additional damage, and if you're, like, a protagonist, it doesn't hurt as bad, and you just get back up.
He hit them with the back of his hand, the non-lethal part.
He used the rubber fists.
Uh-huh. Put on the big foam Hulk hands, and then he beat them up.
So Akiyama's dejected, but surprisingly, like, okay, he's in a state where he just lost $1 billion, and he's upset about it, but he's not, like, that upset about it.
Yeah.
He's just, like, kind of got his head on the counter. There's a part where
I do want to point out that, you know, Date is, nursing Tanimura's wounds, and Tanimura is like, wow, I never thought I'd meet a police legend in here. Holy shit, you're Date. I know you.
I refuse to believe that Date is not a laughingstock in the force. disgraced retired police
officer. Yeah, legend could mean a lot of things. Dake.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, true. So Tanimura, so Akiyama at Kiryu show up, Akiyama's like, well, they cleaned me out. I guess he popped in upstairs before they came in to just check the vault. And then he explains the logistics of the vault. And this is where things begin to unravel a little bit. We get a scene where Kido walks in.
9 days earlier. Jacket.
Yeah, this is 9 days earlier. So, like, Hana's still around. And Kido walks in, like, nobody's home. And he is just kind of killing time, and he sees Akiyama's got this gigantic book of, like,
the
legal
biggest,
text.
Thickest, and only green book on his
this
shelf.
This is a book that John Wick uses to kill a person.
Uh-huh.
And then he looks at the big, conspicuous green book, and then he just sees a button behind it,
and then the button
opens. No code.
No fingerprint.
No fingerprint. It's just
no
right
key,
there for
nothing. You press the button. And you can open,
and then
safe.
You get $1 billion.
Yeah,
that incredible easy. Work, Akiyama.
So yeah, he presses the button. The bookshelf slides across, and there's just a big vault door behind. He opens it, and it's just a big room just lined with cash,
$1 billion.
And this is when I want to talk about money.
Tell me about how much money $1 billion would be.
So, I guess you could call this an essence of education, sort of. You know, this is going to be a little lecture about...
This is like a Tom Scott video.
Yeah. I'm here in Sky Finance. Here is 100 billion yen. So, on March 12th, and I say March 12th because the 13th was a Saturday, the foreign exchanges were closed, of 2010. That's the year that this takes place. I think we said 2009 last episode. It's 2010. The yen to USD exchange rate was 90.73 to 1, so about 91 yen for every $1. It was very strong at that point. It hadn't quite reached its peak of 2011, but it was still, like, 1 yen was worth more than 1 cent, right? You might have seen people talking about this in relation to infinite wealth, where they just do a straight, like, 1 to 1 yen to cent. Conversion when you go from Japan.
I will say, because I saw people saying that that's not realistic, but if you are traveling to Japan, it's the easiest, like, it's the easiest in your head conversion shorthand. It's like a shortcut. It's like it's about 10%.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that right now in 2024 and in 2023, when the game takes place, the yen is exceptionally weak. It has only been going down since the early 2010s for, like, the last 10 years. And at the time that I wrote this, the exchange rate was 149.96 yen for every dollar.
It's like 80-something percent, right?
It's like maybe 66%.
Oy. Maybe this was wish fulfillment from RGG. They were like... One day, if only.
One day, the yin will be strong again. But, this means that at the time that the game took place, that 100 billion yen was worth $1,102,171,277.42.
Nice job, Akiyama.
Yeah, that same amount of yen today would be worth $666,844,491.86. So pretty significant gulf there. Now, assuming that Akiyama has all of this money in 10,000 yen banknotes, which there's no reason not to assume that, it doesn't go any higher. We see that there are 10,000 yen banknotes there everywhere. That just seems to be the simplest way. That would be 10 million bills overall. 100 billion divided by 10,000, right? According to the Bank of Japan website, a yen note weighs about 1 gram. We'll just go with that for these calculations. That means that these 10 million bills would weigh 10,000 kilograms, of course. Or that converts to 22,046.23 pounds.
Listen, it's a heavy-duty job for sure.
It's a heavy-duty job.
I don't know for sure if I put 22,000 pounds in a room in an office complex if that wouldn't cause problems. I mean, I don't know enough about architects.
You gotta get that shit really reinforced before it just crashes through the ceiling of Serena. Now, a 10,000...
I would assume that when you see, like, in movies and TV, we see, like, these bills are banded up together. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it's a stack of 100, 10,000. Yeah. So that's, like, what, 1 million yen per stack?
Yeah.
And then that's there's, what, how many of those? How many is 1 million to a billion? Is that 1,000?
1 million to 1 billion? Yeah, that's 1,000.
Yeah. So there's 1,000 of these individual stacks of money, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I can visualize that.
Yeah. 10 million bills. Each divided by 100. Yeah. Wait. No. There's 10 million bills there in stacks of 100, so that would be 100,000
stacks. Okay, there's 100,000 stacks of... This is the fun part where I have to show that I can't remember how to do any math.
Don't worry, I did it all for you. The 10,000 yen note is a bit larger than other notes, just by a few millimeters. It's a little bit longer. It's 76 millimeters by 166 millimeters, and also, according to Bank of Japan, it's about 0.1 millimeters thick. That means that a 10,000 yen note is 0.00000126 cubic meters, or 1.216 millionths of a cubic meter. That means that with 10 million notes, that would be 12.16 cubic meters, or 429.43 cubic feet. All making sense to you? So a cubic meter, a meter by a meter.
Yeah, but a meter, 12
that's,
of those.
That's big. That's a lot.
So 1 cubic meter is 1 Minecraft block. So that's 12. About, yeah. That's a 12 by 12 Minecraft blocks. Minecraft blocks.
Yeah. About 12 Minecraft blocks of money. And I'm just ballparking here. I'm just a disclaimer. I'm not very good at sighting up distances. So I'm just kind of going off of like how tall Kido is. He's probably a little under 6 foot. He's shorter than a lot of the other male characters. Kiryu's like 6 foot and he's kind of shorter than him. I would say the room, it's square. The vault, looks to be maybe about 6 meters aside. I'd maybe revise that down to 5 at this point, but let's say 6 meters aside and 4 meters tall, 4 meter ceilings.
I have this moment just now where I slipped into the like depths of my brain and I thought that you sound like you're like a contractor. Like I'm talking to you about like, listen, I've got this job that needs to be done. I need to figure out how I can store this money, and you're just coming in to like go over the figures with me.
Let's revise that down actually, because I didn't realize that Kido was pretty short until later.
He's a short character.
Say 5 meters aside and 3 meter tall ceilings. So that would be 75 cubic meters. That seems about right. Right?
Yeah.
I think 12 cubic meters of money.
Looking at this and saying, okay, there's got to be, what, 10,000 of these stacks of money in here? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think 100,000.
100,000.
100,000. Oh, if there's 100,000, I don't think that could fit.
But it's 12 cubic meters of money compared to 75 cubic meters of room. Right? So about a sixth of the room is filled.
Okay.
I think I can see it. And that seems about
right. It's not the logistical part of... I mean, there's the logistics of how Akiyama earned all this money through investments, which
sure.
is I mean, good for him, I guess.
There's also the logistics of how he withdrew that much cash.
In cash.
Because it's like, and then you know, they're billionaires, but it's like, they don't have a billion in cash on hand.
Right, their billion, like, their billions is in, like, assets in stock, right?
Yeah.
Like Elon Musk doesn't have $100 billion lying around in a big Scrooge McDuck money bin.
Yeah.
Because if he did, we could all just go to his house and take it and redistribute it easily.
Easily.
But Akiyama has it in cash. He has it with nobody knowing he has it. That's the other thing that I really like, is that he's a secret billionaire.
Yeah.
He's secretly one of the richest people in the world. Mm. And the biggest logistical issue is the part where people are going to start moving this around.
Yeah.
That's where things really start to... That's the part where things really start to cause problems. Because obviously the game really thought about how, just to skip forward a little bit, obviously Kido finds the money. He freaks out. All the books have fallen off the shelf and then Hana's coming back. So he starts like hastily putting them back, closes the vault, and then he files that away in his mental file cabinet. And probably, like, cleans the small amount of urine out of his pants that he has emptied upon seeing the true scale of Akiyama's wealth.
Yeah.
So the game says...
I've got more money facts.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little
you
more.
You do have more money fast.
Yeah, okay. I do.
Sure.
I went back to the finale of Yakuza 1, when they show the 10 billion yen at the end of that. I'm going to be honest, it looks like about as much money, if not more.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Less. I thought the 10 billion in Yakuza 1 seemed like it was too much money in that vault.
Maybe that's all in 1,000 yen notes.
Maybe that's, it's a smaller denomination.
Yeah, we could only get the 1,000 yen notes.
It was part of the twisted money laundering that was needed to get that money to Jingu.
And if laid end to end, 10 million 10,000 yen notes would be 1,600 kilometers long, which is 994.19 miles.
Nice.
Yeah, that is, for reference, that is like a straight shot, not driving, of course. You know, you got a kind of a windy sort of path.
Sort of a...
That's about the distance between Phoenix, Arizona and Portland, Oregon.
Wonderful. That's quite a drive.
Yeah. Quite a flight.
As the crew flies.
Mm-hmm. And another note before I come back to this later. These bills look like they're from the 2004 series print. Which feature Fukuzawa Yukichi on the front. He was a very important philosopher. His ideas were very important during the Meiji Restoration. And on the back, those bills feature a statue from the Byodoin Temple of a phoenix.
Hmm.
Isn't that neat?
It is very neat.
Nakayama has a lot of them.
He's got 10 million of them.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
10 million little phoenixes. He's a big one.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all my money facts for now.
Thank you for the money facts. I think that's really enlightening to help our listeners portray just the scale of Akiyama's accrued wealth. Mm-hmm. So the game does think about logistically how one would get the money out of Akiyama's office, which, like, even still, it seems like a difficult task. But we can suspend our disbelief.
It's just 12
enough.
Minecraft blocks, you know. It's just twelve Minecraft blocks for each of those, and you know. Load that
but
all
there
onto
are
sta- a truck.
There are stairs. He's on the third floor.
He is on the so third floor. That does that.
But they had a team of guys, and they had a box truck. So we'll just put a pin
and
in
have
that for
a
now.
A lot of briefcases.
Yes, we'll put a pin in that, and we'll come back to it later.
Yeah.
They're all just like, "Oh my god, Akiyama, you have that much money?
What are you doing, dog? You didn't even put a fingerprint scanner on it. What's wrong with you?"
He then tells us that Kido is, he's
oh,
like,
I do
yeah,
want to note
he's...
one last part, yeah. That the end of that scene, he notices Hana coming up, and that we saw this earlier in Akiyama's part, where Hana walks into the office, and Kido is, like, kind of shifty looking, and he puts a book back on the shelf, like he was just looking around. So, and we find out we don't know for certain that this happened. But Akiyama's like, well, yeah, that's probably what happened, and there's no reason to disbelieve him, so. Just take that as fact.
And then he says, by the way, Kido is actually secretly really strong, like as strong as the final boss, he says.
Yeah. He could be a final boss for one of the four of us.
Right.
Protagonists.
Like, one of us will probably have to fight him. Yeah. It turns out that, like, Kanemura had two incredibly strong boys, but Kanemura just kind of sucked, so he just, like, kept a low profile and didn't, like, send them out to do big crimes.
Yeah, they deliberately kept a low profile because the family, Kanemura, was kind of content just sitting by and not really drawing too much attention to himself. Like, he couldn't even make the dues to kick up to the Shibata family, so he was not looking to make waves at all.
And then, this is where Akiyama's like, yeah, I keep all my money in cash. I kept it in bills because I don't trust banks.
Uh-huh.
Which is funny because, I mean, I guess that makes sense for his character.
Yeah.
And then this line fucking cracked me up so bad, but he's just like, I'm in shock. This is me in shock right now.
This is me in shock right now.
Dante's like, you don't seem very sad. And he's like, no. I'm grieving in my own way.
I'm grieving in my own way.
But he's on his fucking YouTuber shithead right wing cigar smoking Andrew Tate like grind set where he's just like, I'm gonna get it back. It's fine.
I'm gonna get it back. It's fine. He's that good at the stock market.
If this dude spoke English, he would be on Joe Rogan constantly.
I mean, he does. You know, he still owns the fucking cabaret club. He probably does have a lot of money still tied up in like stocks and shit already. Like, that's just the cash.
It is kind of funny that he does like imply through his words that he's like, guess I'm homeless again. Like, he's either one of the richest people you've ever met or he's living on the street. But I mean, we know Akiyama. He just kind of like vibes like that. Like,
yeah,
he can swap back and forth at will.
Yeah, and we find out that the way he kind of realized that Kido was pulling a ruse on him was that after Kido got like quote unquote kidnapped, the office was a mess, like a fight had gone down, but and a lot of his books were knocked off the shelf, but the ones that were still on the shelf were all in the wrong spots, and Akiyama knows this because he knows exactly where all of his books go, and he knows when they're in the wrong place.
This is his security measure. He knows when the books got fiddled with. He did not consider putting a lock on the vault. Which is $1 billion.
No, he won't stop you from stealing from him, but he'll know that you stole from him.
He was like, I have so much money that logistically no one could take it all. It's just impossible. Like,
I'm
someone could come
floor.
In and
what
take...
Could happen?
Yeah, what, are they going to come in with, like, six dudes in a box truck?
Not just anybody could act like the district attorney.
I also like when Akiyama's like, Kiryu, you're my hero. You don't know this, but in the traumatic event in which your
entire family got killed...
Yeah, the love of your life and your Kyodai exploded and got shot and everyone died. It rained money down and I used that to turn my life around. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a sweet little moment. And he also ponders that the 10 billion yen that Jingu was going to pass on to the prison department or whatever, or to the Department of Justice, or I can't remember who he was going to give it to. The police. That
probably
was probably the same.
That.
Yeah, he probably helped launder that, and that was why he was set up by the bank.
Right. This game has what I like to call the Jedi problem. I've talked about this on Dr. Hobb about like how Dr. Hobb raises the stakes, Dr. Who raises the stakes across like ongoing series, and it happens in Star Wars. It's like, what's cooler than one Jedi with a lightsaber? Is like 1,000 Jedi with lightsabers. What's scarier than one Dalek? 1 billion Daleks. And then it's like, how can we make the stakes increase? Well, Yakuza 1 is about $10 billion. Let's just raise that by 10 billion yen. Let's just multiply that by 10. This is 10 times more drama than Yakuza 1 because
in
it's
all fairness,
about
the conflict isn't really over the money like it was in Yakuza 1. Like this it's just a bargaining chip at this point in the story.
It's just so much money.
Like the conflict is about, you know, a lot more than that than just the money.
So basically they're all like, fate has brought us here.
Fate has brought us here.
We're all connected. Everyone's got their stake in this. Kiryu brandishes his ace in the hole. He pulls it out of his, like, waistband. It's very funny.
Uh-huh.
We don't really see where he's been storing it, but he pulls it out, and he's like, here we go. I also really enjoy the fact that the camera holds on the, like, comical, like, 10 billion to Jingu from Tojo Clan. It holds on it for so long, and at least in the HD remaster, they don't bother translating it again. Yeah. So it's really just like, we get to internalize the amount of time it took for the characters to read it. It was so funny to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got the file, and he wants to use it to draw out Katsuragi and Munakata. He wants it to use
right.
it to kind of rescue Saejima and Yasuko. Luckily for everybody, Tanimura still has Katsuragi's number saved
this
on his phone.
This was so funny to me, because, you know, for a high-powered, like, scheming Yakuza like Katsuragi, I would have assumed that he has, like, a different phone, or he has, like, some kind of, you know, he wasn't just, like, giving out his personal phone number to people to call him back. But, yeah, Tanimura's just like, yeah, he's in my contacts now.
Mm-hmm.
He's in my call history. We can just call him back. And then they just call him, and he's like, hello, you've got Katsuragi? Hello.
Katsuragi on the line, talk to him.
It was a little bit silly. It was just like, oh, you could just call the villain and get him to, like, talk to you? You'd think it'd be like, my business with you is concluded, you know, this phone has been
never
destroyed.
Call this number again.
Yeah, this is not his personal phone, but he just was like, you could just call him, you could text him, you could invite him out for bowling.
Texting Katsuragi, you up?
You posted in our Discord the fucking little icon of him on the phone is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, when Kiryu talks to him on the phone, and Katsuragi's like, hey, hang on a second, this isn't Tanimura, who the fuck is this? Kiryu says, it's me, Kazuma Kiryu. He says, wait a second, the Kazuma Kiryu? And when he's saying this, his little portrait changes to him staring at his phone in disbelief, like, that's a sticker in our Discord.
So funny. Yeah, it's really good. And then he's like, yeah, I've got the file that you're looking for. Hamazaki gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, wait, okay. Let's do some bargaining. So Kiryu says, I will give you the file if you give me Saejima and Yasuko and the 100 billion. And then Katsuragi says, you'll have to do better than that when you negotiate.
Yeah, come on.
And then he says, how about this? Trade offer.
Uh-huh.
I give you long battle.
I give you... You get Saejima and 100 billion yen. I get long battle against you.
The way this happens is like in my mind, I was thinking about, this is like Kiryu ordering a pizza. Like, he picks up the phone, and then on the other end, someone says, I've got your long battle coming right up. Just come and get it at Kamurocho Hills. And he's like, okay, cool, I'll be right there.
They'll be right there, alone.
This is like, his insurance policy is like, either you die and I get the file, or I get to you and you're really tired, so you can't.
Yeah, you're
like,
too tired to beat me up by the time you get up here, so
you've
I'll
never
be fine.
Fucking met this guy in your life. Have you seen him? He was on TV. He beat up the entire Tojo clan. It was on TV.
Oh, you know, it's been like 5 years since then. He probably can't
do it again.
Older.
Surely it was a one-time thing.
So yeah, he has to make his way up to the roof of Kamurocho Hills all through by fighting all the way through all of the members of
the entire
Uenosewa clan.
Uh-huh.
Alone,
and
of like, course.
And 10 o'clock tonight. And you better believe, I've got some boss fights in there for you.
Yeah,
I've
got some
guys
mini-bosses.
Guys with guns. It's going to be it's going to be a big one, Kiryu. So you're going to really, this will really show you.
And Kiryu says, okay, sure.
Okay,
I do this all the time.
He looks at his watch and it says like second to last chapter on it. And then he's like, yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where I do this. I guess I can do this. I haven't met my quota this year. I've only been in this game for 4 chapters. So I'm like, really?
Yeah.
He's got energy to burn.
Mm-hmm.
He's just trying to like speed run his way back down to the orphanage.
Yeah, come on. We were gonna go on a trip in a few days. I gotta get back there.
Yeah. I was gonna go play golf with that important politician.
Yeah,
got plans. I got to do my shopping.
So
he's like, yeah. I mean, I guess I'll go do your long battle. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, sure, I'll go do it. And everybody else is like, Everybody else knows that this is fucking insane, but they also know that Kiryu could probably do it, and they can't stop him from doing it. So they're just like, all right, fine.
All right. This is what happens when you've been in too many of these games, and he's still in a lot more of just like, he's just going through the motions at this point. And then he goes out, he's like, yeah, all right, time to go. I'm going to go stock up on some staminums.
Yeah, go to Kotobuki Drugs.
And then he goes outside and the florist calls him and he's like, hey, Kiryu, I'm in this game. Don't forget.
Don't forget. He does look beat up in the little phone portrait. I just want to point that out.
Was he like I mean, we saw him like beat up. Was he in any other chapters? Or I don't think he was. Was he?
Saijima meets him. He goes to Purgatory.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. He has to fight
the whole Colosseum shit.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We have to get in every game.
Okay, I need to talk about another thing.
I just want
to
say, it is fucking crazy that he's just not in 6 and hasn't been in any game. I mean, maybe he's in 8. I don't know. Don't say anything. But yeah, he just drops off the face of the planet after 5. He's in 5, like a good deal. But
there's a few characters who just kind of disappear from the story, and it makes me go fucking crazy, and I can't understand like where they are.
He has a citywide surveillance network, and it just never comes up again. What?
They're like, this makes the game too easy, and it's really funny because I don't want to get into other game spoilers, so I'll drop it. Here's the thing that I found so much delight at. So Majima, you know, Majima Construction, they bulldozed West Park. They put up the scaffolding for a skyscraper. They tore it down, and then they rebuilt it. You know, 80% of the way. We learned from the florist that the entrance to Kamurocho Hills is still through that bathroom, I like to, in my headcanon, that never changes. So, like, anyone who wants to go to work, if they live there, if there's a shopping center, they do have to go through the secret bathroom stall.
In the more modern games, there are other entrances, but, like, while it's under construction, I guess this is, like, unsecured or whatever, so you can just still
think about here is that the Kamurocho Hills like construction lot is huge. There's so much empty space here, so presumably they just keep everything on property, though that does make me wonder how they got the materials in there if they had to take it through the bathroom. It's unclear, but you know, Majima Construction, those guys—they're real class act. They know how to get that shit.
They're
done.
Determined. Nishitani. He'll figure it out.
So then, Kiryu goes through the bathroom door, and he proceeds to have.
Wait, hang on! No. Yeah. He doesn't. It's up story time.
Oh, okay. Sure.
It's up story time. This sub story is called "Becoming Family."
Okay.
Outside New Serena, Kiryu runs into a woman who seems like she's kind of nervous. You know, she looks like she wants to go inside, but she's having hesitation. And, you know, you talk to her for a little bit, and she recognizes you, and you recognize her. She's Saya. It's Date's daughter, Saya. Remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said, for a second, I was like, Sayama? No. No. She doesn't exist anymore.
No, not Sayama. Saya. Yeah. It's been a while. It's been like 4 years. She's fresh out of vocational school, and she's now apprenticing as a hairstylist. So things are going well for her. She's doing good.
She had to answer a five question test.
Uh-huh, and get at least 3 of them right. And then she got the certification. I was just doing a bunch of those before we started recording. Actually,
they made them so much easier in 8. I think in Infinite Wealth, they were so fucking hard in 7. I thought.
Oh my god! Yeah. And she came here to, she wants to talk to Date about something, but she doesn't know how best to do it. So she asks you, she enlists your help to go in with her and kind of support her. As soon as she walks in the door, Date's like, what have you gotten into this time? Well, what kind of trouble are you
great
in?
Great dad.
Great guy. Love him. And she sits down and she's like, I'm not in any trouble, dad. It's that I'm dating someone. I've got a boyfriend. His name is Minoru. He's another hairstylist, and he's actually, you know, he's getting kind of famous for his hairstyling skills. They've been going out for about a year now, and they're thinking about moving in together. And she just wanted to come here to, like, you know, so Date could meet him, because her mom has already met Minoru, and she approves, but she wants Date to meet him as well, just as a formality. And they're going to meet at Cafe Alps pretty soon. So, you know, if he could just go right now, that'd be great. Date is trying to be evasive. He's like, can't you see? I'm busy not doing my job. Like, doing a job that is not my own, filling in
here
at the bar.
I'm covering for a bar that never has anyone but protagonists in it.
Anyone but Yakuza protagonists in it. She says, come on, man. Come on. Just, I can tell you don't, you just don't want to
be a good dad for 5 seconds of your entire life, please.
Your entire life. And Kiryu says, come on, dog. Seriously? Kiryu offers to take over on the bar, which he says that he's apparently done before. He's filled in. He's covered for Mariko before. I don't know when this happened. Maybe in another sub-story.
I need to see that.
But yeah. Also, her name is Mariko? Mariko?
Sure. I think I said that before.
I looked this up, and the Yakuza Wiki says that she's referred to as Mariko in the original translation, but only as Mama in the remasters. But I was very much watching a video of the remasters, I could tell, because they had Xbox controllers on the screen.
Date said in the last chapter, I think, that he was filling in for Mariko.
Could be. I don't know.
The name feels familiar, but maybe it's because I saw it on the wiki.
Maybe. I mean, if you look her up on the wiki, her name is just Nucerina Mama. Like, that's what she's listed as. And it's not, like, under her biographical information. It's only in the references way at the bottom that I found Mariko. So Date finally, begrudgingly, agrees to go meet this guy. And they leave. We cut to black. We come back in. And Kiryu's like, damn, they've been gone a while. He's getting kind of worried about him. So he just leaves. He just closes the bar down so he can leave. He's like, oh, hey, Akiyama, can you get behind the bar for a minute? Cover
it's
for
just
me?
A rotating cast of characters tending bar and then having to leave and then get someone else to tend the bar.
Mm-hmm. So you leave, you go to Cafe Alps to check on them, and they're still just waiting there. Minoru has not arrived yet. He's not arrived yet. Date's kind of pissed. He's grumbling about how kids these days, they don't hold commitments. He's probably just scared to meet
damn kids.
Him. Yeah. And Sai is like, well, he's not usually like this. He's a very punctual man most of the time. She can't even get him on the phone. He's not answering. So Kiryu and Sai, they split up. They head out to find him while Date just goes back to the bar. They'll just call him if they find Minoru. She says that Minoru should be wearing his iconic black cap and gray peacoat. you walk up the street a bit. He's in front of the Millennium Tower, surrounded by a little girl. She's crying, an old woman, and some guy who's like on his hands and knees, like looking around on the ground. It turns out that Minoru has kind of been caught up in a series of sub stories himself. He found this little crying girl, and she got separated from her mom on the way to see a play at the theater. So he's trying to help her get meet up with her mom again when the old woman got her purse snatched. So he ran after the thief, and when he was running after the thief, he bumped into this other guy and knocked his contact lenses out, and that's why he's on the ground. He's looking for his contacts. So just a whole series of...
A comedy of errors.
A comedy of errors has happened to him. So Kiryu's like, okay, all right, fine, I'll fucking help you. Not like that. He's much nicer about it. He says, okay, I'll help you. You stay here, help this guy find his contacts. I'll go get the purse, and I'll go find this girl's mom. The girl's mom is in the middle of Theater Square. I want to say the old lady wants her purse back. She mostly just wants it because... it has an old fountain pen that belonged to her late husband, and she can't bear to be apart from it. She just really wants that fountain pen back, even if she doesn't get the purse back. She wants the pen. Anyways, the purse snatcher is over in the Shichifuku parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You just beat him up. You get the purse back. You go back to Minoru. The man and the girl are gone. You give the purse back. So everything's good, right? We head to Cafe Alps. Everybody's together, including Kiryu. Kiryu's sitting at the table with the three of them.
Nice to meet you.
Hello. I'm a friend of Saya's dad. Don't worry about it. And when it comes up why Minoru was late, he lies. He doesn't mention that he was helping people. He just says, oh, you know, I kind of forgot. I dropped my phone somewhere. I don't know what happened. And Date says, okay, well, you know, you're a hairstylist. You're making good money. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that Saya is dating someone like you. That's great. But I, you know, if some point down the line you're thinking about getting married, I can't condone it because of this bad first impression. You know, you seem like a polite young man, but, you know, you were late today for something like this. What if you're late for something much more important down the line? What if Saya was in danger and you didn't get there on time because you dropped your phone or whatever? And as he's doing this, the little girl and her mother walk in and they're like, Hey, mister, it's you. Thanks. Thank you so much. And this is when it comes out that what Minoru was doing. He was helping out all these people. He was a real,
good guy.
Real stand-up guy. Kiryu explains the whole situation. And Minoru just didn't defend himself because he wanted to take responsibility because he was late. Odate changes his mind. He says, oh, okay, you know, I'm not stone-hearted, you know. If you're willing to go out of your way to help all these people, you're clearly, like, a good person. So if you want to get married, fine. But I don't want you living together. Because, well, you know, me and your mom, we're getting up there in years. And if you move out, then who's going to look after her? And Kiryu says, ah. He smiles sagely and says, ah, I've already solved the problem. What if they both move in with Saya's mom? And everybody says, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you, guy. I've only just
random
met today.
Man that I don't know who this is.
Uh-huh. Dottie says, oh, fine, I guess. Fine, I'll put up with this. And Minoru promises to treat Saya and her mom well, and we never see them again. Ever. I don't think they come up in any. They definitely not in 5. I did all the sub-stories in that. They're not.
They'll definitely come back in Yakuza 9 or 10 or 11.
Yeah, but that's well, it. Saya's living a good life. She's got a good partner.
I'm glad that her father, who was never a part of her life and was only ever kind of an asshole to her, feels that he has a say in who she should date.
Hey, he bought her a modem one time.
Very nice man. Mm-hmm. He did. He hit her one time.
Oh.
So then Kiryu says, "Okay, I've got shit to do. It's almost 10 o'clock.
I gotta go."
There was one thing I wanted to circle back to. It's just a tiny funny thing I noticed, and it gave me a little chuckle. Which is when you're on the phone with Katsuragi and he says, "Meet me at 10 p.m." Because of the way the like text. The like text automatically like pops onto the screen with this little like noise. When it sees a period, it stops. It just like automatically stops. So it just says 10 p.m.
Yeah, like anytime they talk about penitentiary number 2, also that happens.
Yeah, it just like grinds the text scroll to a halt. It's very funny. It's just a funny little thing I noticed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kiryu checks his watch and he says, "Oh shit, it's almost 10 p.m. It's 10 p.m. time for your daily long battle." He goes to have what I would wager is one of the longest.
It's long a long battles in the series battle up to date. It's very long.
It is like all the way through from the ground floor of the construction site, in through the lobby, through the like.
You can just walk in, like there's no confirmation. Like, it's not like Kiryu's like, okay, I better be ready before I go in here. You just walk up to the door, press it, and you're in the long battle. No cutscene or anything.
No. There is a moment where I believe some Ueno Seiwa goons are pretending to be mannequins just for laughs, I guess. Just for laughs.
Yeah.
They're just having a good... This is a Majima family type thing here. I feel like if he found out, he'd be a little disappointed. But yeah.
There's a QTE as Kiryu's like walking up to one to be like, what? That looks like a guy disguised as a mannequin, and another guy comes up behind him to try and hit him on the head.
This one's a pretty memorable one, actually. I like
the music
one
in here is great.
I really like the like progression, the rising action, the sense that you actually feel like you're making your way through this huge ass building.
Yeah, you're fighting through a lot of mini bosses. There's several of them. One has a shotgun. Like there's a guy in red.
Oh, I don't remember what this was like.
But he has a baton.
This was like. If you have Firearm Flip, at least one of these, I felt so satisfied when I played this game for the first time because you can just like one shot that boss with Firearm Flip. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's really great. Good. You do meet him, I think, for the first time in a room that's filled with glass cases that have mannequins in them. And you can break open the cases to get the mannequins so you can swing them around if you want to. And then right outside that room, they've got guys on the scaffolding shooting at you, so you have to like throw shit at them or have brought a gun to shoot them down yourself so you can break down the barricade without them bothering you. And then you after a while you make it to an elevator, you work your way up a few floors, and you get to like a maze section it's like really
walls.
Dark. There's breakable doors, like fire doors.
Oh yeah, there's a part where you have to fight a bunch of dudes in like the dark.
Yeah,
that was a very.
The music changes here as well to another track that's pretty. It's very like ethereal and it's neat. It's something you would expect to play in like an empty construction site like this. You know, it's very cool. I like this.
I think this is one of my like. This is one of the better long battles.
It's a pretty interesting environment. There's a lot of variety within it. Like, you go through that one store area with the storefronts, with the guys posing as mannequins. You go through all these different zones into this dark maze section, as I said. Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
It's a good one. And then you kind of end up, you know, outside, near the roof. This is where you have to fight, like, two or three mini-bosses at once.
You fight all four of the mini-bosses.
Yeah, oh, right,
well,
right.
There's three mini-bosses that you've encountered before, plus one new one, and you fight all four of them at once.
It's pretty good.
Curious, but all this takes, the better part of an hour. This is like a half hour.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like a 30-minute long fight. It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
So Kiryu makes it up onto the roof. I think that this scene is too much like Yakuza 2.
You think so?
This is my thought on this. I think so. There is some, and maybe it's just because it takes place on like an under it takes place on the top of Kamurocho Hill's construction site scaffolding, which is also where the end of Yakuza 2 takes place. There's double crosses. There's people who get shot and then get back up. There's people who get shot and get back down. There's a character who gets shot a billion times while she's walking toward the villain. And it's like, ah! There's a character, I feel like there's a character who gets taken away by an elevator. I think that happens in Yakuza 2 as well, but I could be wrong. There's a big elevator involved.
Yeah.
Like a big cargo elevator. There's just so many things in this scene that remind me of Yakuza 2. Maybe it's thematic. Maybe it is. I don't know. It was something I kept noticing. So Kiryu gets to the top of the building. Katsuragi is there. Yasuko and Saijima are like hog-tied.
Yeah.
And Kiryu pulls out the file. Oh, I like the part where Katsuragi's like, yeah, you know, I'm not really a fighter. I'm not really like a macho man.
I've got some honor though. I'll keep my word. Don't worry. Don't you worry.
Nice to meet a legend. Yeah. And then he presumably he like snaps his fingers or rings a little bell. And Kido is just on the big freight elevator with like, 12 by 12 Minecraft blocks full of cash suitcases.
Yeah. This is where I have a few more things about the cash, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So the briefcases, this stack of cases, it's 6x9 and 14 high of just cases, not like any actual measurement, meaning that there are 756 briefcases overall. That works out to 13,227.51 bills per case. Now, these are probably the same type of case that we've seen in a lot of other places in the game. You can probably fit the money in there in kind of a 3x4 grid for 12 stacks of 100 bills in each layer, right? As we mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, 13,200 divides by 12 evenly into 1,100. If you divide that by 100 for the amount of bills that's in each stack, you would get 11 layers of bills in each case, each about 1 centimeter thick. So 11 centimeters of money in each case, with about 27.51 bills left over to do whatever you want with. Just spread them around. Now, it's hard to tell exactly how tall this stack of cases is. It looks to be a little bit taller than Kido. I'm just going to say 2 meters.
Mm-hmm.
That would put the cases at about 14 meters high each. So even if you take off a little bit, you know, maybe like a centimeter for the outer casing, that would still leave plenty of space for this cache. Remember, it's only 11 centimeters high in each case, so it checks out. The math checks out.
It checks out.
There's enough room in these cases for this money.
We don't know that the inside is full. It could be a little house that he built. I also like when Kido arrives on the elevator, he says, sorry for the wait, which maybe it's just me, but it kind of feels like he did this himself.
Uh-huh.
It kind of feels like he spent the better part of 30 to 40 minutes stacking up all these briefcases on the elevator and then riding it up to the
top. I wanted to get them all nice and neat, but it's not easy to stack 14 briefcases on top
moving
of each
this
other
money,
without them
moving this
over.
Money around is incredibly difficult. You have to understand.
You have to understand. You know what I should have done? I should have worked out how much each suitcase would weigh. Oh,
I was going to say, you started measuring money in centimeters and you completely lost me there when you could have just figured out how much money is in each case. But
I did figure out how much money is in each case. I said there's 13,227 bills or whatever, you know. I was just saying that there's enough room in the cases to fit all that money.
Right. I feel like when we see the big briefcase of money, well, let's think about it this way. Earlier in the game, how much did Yasuko need? 10 billion? 10 billion. Yen? Not 10 billion. It was 10 million, right?
10 million.
Was it 10 million? I want to say it was 10 million.
It was 100 million. It was 100 million. That's how much she wanted, and that fit in one briefcase. That was
one briefcase.
That was 10,000 bills, right?
Right.
So I was just checking to see if you could fit an additional 3,000 or so in one of those
briefcases. Just scattering them around or putting them on the floor. Or maybe that was just kind of like the taxation for having to do the labor. So Kido is here with the money. The exchange is going to happen. Got to keep everybody... Got to do it very carefully. Oh, and also Kido's like, nice to meet you, Kiryu. You're really
nice
cool.
Nice to meet you, Kiryu. You're a legend.
Legend.
Very cool. Saijin is pissed. Once he sees
like
Kido
screaming.
Coming up the elevator, he's screaming through the tape on his mouth. You could, Kido! Kido!
So they're going to walk Yasuko over to Kiryu. Kido's going to take the file, give it to Katsuraki. He's going to check the contents. Then he's going to give Saijima the money over, and then Kiryu will just have to move the briefcases himself. It's fine.
Yeah.
So that happens.
On the elevator.
I mean, they get Saijima, they get Yasuko over, and they get the file swapped. I like offhandedly, just for peace of mind of the player, I guess, Yasuko's like, don't worry, me and Saijima did get a chance to talk.
We did get a chance to talk. We were locked up
for a
while.
You didn't
see
it. We didn't see it. We didn't see our reunion or anything. We didn't want to write that. That'd be hard. But it did happen off screen, and it was very touching. And we feel that we've settled our whatever we needed to settle.
Yeah, and thank God for that, because on Katsuragi's orders, Kido pulls a gun and turns around and points it straight at Kiryu and Yasuko. But also, when Katsuragi tells him to pull the trigger, he turns around and shoots at Katsuragi and just unloads his gun on him. Just
blah, you blah, can't blah. See when he shoots, not to like ruin the tension of the scene.
There's no blood.
There's no blood coming out. It would have been so funny if it was rubber bullets again. You think I didn't fucking know? You think I didn't fucking plan
for this? I loaded your gun with rubber bullets.
He put rubber bullets in every gun in Japan, just in case. Uh-huh. But yeah, he gets shot a million times, and then Kido, you think he's gonna take the elevator down with the money, but he actually just lowers the money to dramatically reveal on the other side, who presumably has been just standing there.
Was he on the other side of... Yeah,
was he just standing there the whole time?
So that he could not get lowered with the money.
Did he have a conversation with Kido? Like, okay, so here's what's going to happen. I'll be behind the briefcases, and then I'm going to stand up, and then you're going to reveal me to Kiryu and company. Uh-huh. It's going to be really cool and dramatic.
It's
going to
be cool.
Anaki, that does sound really cool. Fuck,
you didn't,
you're right.
You think? And then he goes over to Ryan. He's like, "You didn't think I was gonna stab my Aniki in the back, did you? Like, what kind of a fucking punk do you think I'd be?" And then Ryan's like, "Thank you, Kido. Always there when I need you."
Bam! Bow!
Shoots him. Blap! Right
shoots
in the tummy,
right in the gut.
Uh-huh. Ooh. And then he just falls onto the elevator, and then the elevator just descends, and Kido lowers out of view. And he's just going, Aniki.
Poor guy.
When is the nuclear bomb going to be revealed?
The music in this part is real over the top. It sounds like a Final Fantasy game. It's insane.
I really like how Arai just gets rid of him. Not like by shooting him, but by lowering the elevator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going maximum soap opera and not in a way that really works.
This scene is just like, once again, the scene feels a lot like Yakuza 2, and that was already silly enough where it's like, oh, and then Terada is alive and he's here, and then he shoots you with a machine gun a billion times or whatever. This is just like, how many double crosses can happen in one scene? How many people can
get
shot
in
one
scene?
Yeah. So Rai's like, aha, I'm finally playing my cards. This was my plan all along. This is, I win. And then Kiryu says, you know, you'll never have the Tojo clan. I'm going to punch you so hard that it'll knock the evil out of you.
Knock the ambition out of you. Don't worry. I'm coming for you. And Arai's like, well, it doesn't matter now. You're too late. You're always too late, Kiryu. That's your problem.
You shouldn't have done that sub story, Kiryu.
Shouldn't have done that sub story. If you had gotten here 5 minutes earlier, maybe you could stop this.
Damn it.
He's right.
Yeah. So, he walks away. I guess he took the elevator, so I guess he's gonna take the stairs down.
Yeah.
Yasuko runs over to her brother,
unties.
Sajima's like, stop! Katsuragi's still alive!
He's still alive!
He flips him over. He's got a bulletproof vest on. He's full of rubber bullets. Every contingency planned for.
Mm-hmm.
Katsuragi once again tries and fails to explain how Sajima's not a murderer. He just says it, but he doesn't explain how, so...
Yeah, he's just you never killed anyone.
Once again, to Sajima, this is meaningless because he saw the people die in front of him. He saw the blood and he saw them get shot in the face, but he won't explain that the rubber bullets. It's fine.
Sajima didn't see any of that.
He saw people get shot in the face and he saw blood come out of them.
No, he shot them all in like the midsection. With the rubber bullets.
Oh, yeah. Well, either way, he shot them and he saw them bleeding.
He didn't see blood.
And fall over. Yeah, they're bleeding in the scene. Go back and watch it.
It's probably like broth or something.
Yeah. Why are we wearing our blood packs to this?
Why'd you make us put all the squibs on, boss? Don't worry about it.
I don't understand. He's just sitting there taunting me. He's like, I feel bad for society. He was getting stuck with such a loser like you. Ha ha ha. And then Sajima, in true Yakuza protagonist, can't even bring himself to hurt Katsuragi. Yeah. He punches directly into the mouth
for a big punch, and punches the ground.
No, you're not even worth it. You're not even worth it. I don't have the magic hands. I'm just gonna walk away and leave my back unexposed.
I'm just gonna turn my back on you.
I'm just gonna walk away and hope that you don't shoot me from off screen. He shoots him. He pulls out his gun. Oh my god! He shoots him once in the arm, so you know he's gonna be fine. And then, before he can shoot him again in a place that matters, unfortunately, Yasuka runs and takes the bullet for him. Right in the back. Right in the vital part of her body.
Yeah.
And then she goes full Ryuji on him, but, like, in a way where she's, like, doing it in, like, a soft and haunting kind of way.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, this guy's a monster, she's just, like... I'm walking towards you with no expression. I'm cold and I'm dead
cold,
inside.
I'm going
or whatever.
To kill you. I'm already dead.
Katsuragi's like, get away from me.
Get away
what
from
are you
me,
doing?
He's firing at her, missing every shot.
Missing every shot.
He empties his gun, doesn't hit her again. And she makes her way up to him and she pulls out Tanimura's gun.
And she's like, Tanimura gave this to me. He was going to avenge his father. I guess I must do this. She takes so fucking long to shoot this guy, by the way. I was, like, killing me. I was like, can you please just do it.
Do it. Put me out of my misery.
Listen, I'm not saying that, like, killing is always cool in these games. This is not a pro-killing game or a pro-killing space. Yeah. But this is, like, the one time in the series where a character gets to have their righteous vengeance. And this is, like, her last act of in this world. And she takes so long to do it. Just do it, Yasuko. She's like, I have to do this. Saishima's like, no, don't do this.
No,
and she's like,
don't do it.
I'm going to do it. Thank you, Taiga. Thank you for everything. Here we go. Okay, I have to do this. Tanimura gave me this gun. Okay, here we go. I'm glad I got to see you and unpack everything between us off screen. Okay, here we go. And it's happening. And then she does just blast him right in the face. And it is good. I do respect this one time, just this once. I don't think it ever, like, it never happens where a character's like, I want revenge and I will get this by killing a guy.
Yeah.
And I will succeed. Usually it's like, I will fail in the process or I will punch them.
Uh-huh.
Exacting my revenge by hitting them really good.
Yeah.
But she does shoot him in the head and then she falls over and she dies. Oh no.
Yeah, she dies. So that she dies can in a way sad about
that,
her.
Yeah, she dies in a way that just felt so like you just killed the woman to make the man sad. They really fridged her.
It's and, like, just the most preventable, like, unforced error ever.
And it just really sucks to me because
he's on top of the guy, like, I fucking hate you, and then he just walks away, turns his back on him.
Okay,
he's just still fully
it.
Conscious. It's not even like the guy from 3 where it's like he had presumably knocked him out and then he got back up or whatever.
And, like,
you've just left him there, and he's fully conscious.
Like, Yasuko's more of a character in this game than Saishima is. She's in three different characters, or she's in all of Akiyama's story, and then, you know, she's in Kiri, like,
she's been
in Tanimura's
a lot, yeah, she's in Kiri.
And then she slips away, which, by the way, she does, when Kiryu, gets her, she's like, man, I really shouldn't have done that. That was dumb.
I should have listened to you. Sorry.
And then she off screen reunites with her brother, which was like the emotional core of the game. Arguably,
that's what we've been working towards like this whole fucking time.
We don't fucking see it. We don't get to see. This is like, it feels so lazy to me. Of like, oh, we really just couldn't bring ourselves to write the emotional.
Like, we couldn't
reunion
swap to Saijima's POV for 5 minutes.
This dude broke out of fucking prison. This guy broke out of prison, and one of the only things he wanted to do was reunite with his sister. Who, by the way, we learned last chapter, in a fucking like offhand cutscene, like he saved her life, or she saved. He saved her life. By joining the Yakuza in a very convoluted way, but okay. And then it's just like, we're not gonna show that, and then she's just gonna die to make him sad? That sucks.
It sucks, yeah.
RGG, please treat your women better, challenge! Please!
Please.
Please stop making girls just like, the catalyst for characters being sad and angry. They did it with Yumi, they did it with Yasuko, they did it with they did it with Haruka a billion times. Let them exist as people, please. Let them survive the game. It made me so mad.
We'll get to that in a couple
games. It just soured me so fucking angry. Yeah, with Haruka. Oh my god. Like, thank god that Like a Dragon came out and they were like, hey, we can have women be in the party. And you know, their treatment isn't always perfect. The guys in the game
but
get
they're
more...
like people with agency. They have things that they do like that aren't related to the protagonist.
Like the core group of boys definitely gets more focus in the story, at least in 7. But like at least the characters get to survive their game.
Yeah, and not like, just be like a tool
they're
to
not
create
like just
anguish.
Tools to make it's not even like it's not even like she died so he could experience character growth. It's just she died to make him sad and angry. Like, this doesn't change these guys don't really change in these games, which is not necessarily like a big criticism. You know, it's part of the story. This is the charm of the characters, is that they're just like, these are just these fucking dudes who are set in their ways. It's kind of a core aspect of the plot. But like, really? Really?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. It just sucks. It made me mad. It felt lazy.
And it's not like it's not like her living would rob him of his motivation or anything. Like, there's still a lot of shit.
I feel like
shit,
his character
it's
would
like,
be
he
more...
still has this whole plot that he presumably wants to like help unravel, you know? Like, I don't think.
And also like there is a thing of like this man is on the run from the law. Like, he is not he's not going to be out of jail forever. He broke out from a life sentence to settle some scores and meet with his sister. And could it not be said that it would be kind of an interesting and like worthwhile thing to explore?
Yeah,
like,
if he gets to meet up with her
person.
For a you know a little bit,
and then he
has to go back
like,
to prison.
He knows that she's there. Like, she's out there. You know, she can visit him. Like, what does this get him? But like nothing. Like, why did they keep doing this? Like, okay, for Kiryu, whatever, that like informed a lot of the choices that he made in his life. It's like because he lost this one person that he really cared about. Whatever. They did it once and it's not great, but it happened, and it was also a game from 2005.
Yeah.
This is just like, they can't keep doing this, guys. You can't keep doing this. It really sucks. And I'm so mad. I'm so mad that they couldn't just like give us a scene. Give us a fucking 10-second scene where they get to see each other and be like, oh my god. Like,
Yasuko. Yeah, we don't get, like, an initial reaction of, like, you know, Saijima is there and then they drag Yasuko in. He's like, oh, Yasuko.
It's so lazy. This is what I keep saying. Like, one of my biggest issues with this game is
the next time we see the both of them, they've both already met each other. They've gotten it all out of the way. They have an understanding, and then she dies.
It's so frustrating that they're just like, don't worry. If I die in this scene, at least we said the things that needed to be said off screen. Come on. Uh-huh. That's so lazy. Anyway, that's the end of the chapter. The woman is in the fridge.
Yeah.
The main villain has been replaced by the other main villain, who's just been kind of standing there and been secretly plotting away this whole time. I'm thinking back to we've got 4 characters and 4 boss fights, and one of them is really, in my opinion, kind of dumb.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, guys, this game is just a bit of a mess. It's a little bit of a mess.
They're all kind of a mess, but
all kind of a mess. But this one just, like, I think
like,
this one
I don't know, it's like, I was liking the plot, you know, a fair
this
bit.
This one has, like, the best setup and then the worst payoff, I think. Like... Mm. I think 1 and 2 are just like, you know, they're PS2 games. They have some good moments. They have some bad moments. Yakuza 2 is pretty racist.
Yeah, but I think generally they at least, you know, they end on pretty
yeah.
Well.
I think their setups and their payoffs are pretty good. 3 is just kind of a weird, like, it just never really gets going in a way that feels like it's good.
And I think we're on the record as like, we really like a lot of 3. Like, there's a lot to like in 3.
And then 4 is just like, oh, this has a really interesting and intriguing setup. You know, how does this all connect? Oh, you see it connected. Oh, and then it ties back to Yakuza 1. Oh my god. And then oh no.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little frustrating.
Yeah. But we'll get to see if maybe it'll pay off a little bit better in next chapter, finale, Requiem.
It is a big finale. We've got 4 characters, 4 boss fights. If you're me, you didn't know that you could swap to each character and stock up on healing items, so I did have to do all four of these boss fights with no healing items.
No.
We do have also, I will say as a little taste of what's to come, we do get the worst boss fight in the entire series to date, in my opinion, in the next chapter. And I can't wait to talk about it and explode for a few minutes. Oh, Yakuza 4. Argyle, can I tell you, if we're going to pick up our recording schedule, I'm so excited to play Yakuza 5.
Do you think you'll be able to actually play it along?
I'm gonna play it. I've got it.
I don't think I will because I just finished it.
You just played it.
Yeah,
I'm going to sit down and play it because I haven't played it before. So
yeah,
I played like one. Well, I played up to Saijima's section, but I never like finished it. So
I think you'll really like 5. It's a lot of fun.
It'll be fun. But yeah, this game, you know, it's got its ups and downs, but it's just a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
That's the end of the chapter. Next week, next time, we'll finish things up. Let's see if we have any.
We don't have any questions.
Don't have any questions.
Oh wait, that's we do actually.
We do have a question.
Yeah, we've got a couple.
Yeah,
we've got another one.
Okay, we've got one from Discord user Dr. Sleck, who says, "If you have a question, by the way, you can join our Discord server. The link to join is at the bottom of any episode, and it's on our Tumblr. Please be 18 years or older to join."
Yeah.
Discord user Dr. Sleck says, if you were to visit Dondoko Island, where would you hang out? Would you be drawn to the extreme sleaze like our boy Kiryu, or the several square kilometers of elegance that is the traditional Japanese building, or something else? That building is such a fucking space hog. Uh-huh. I'm assuming that if you built your city like me, I would be drawn to just the little Kamurocho that I built.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is kind of a little Kamurocho, is kind of the way that I made it. But honestly, I think the part of that I'd be drawn to would be the little park that I made. Like, so the opening part, like from Dondoko Beach, that's Tenkaichi Street. There's nothing to the west of Tenkaichi Street in the games, of course. So I just put like a little park area there. I've got like you know, a lot of benches. I've got a little coffee truck, statues to look at. You know, it's just nice. I like it a lot.
My Dondoko Island is basically like a little Kamurocho and then a big farmer's market with lots of coffee trucks, stalls, and like bathrooms and parking and parks and bikes and stuff. It is nice. I really do like my Dondoko Island. And I think that going there for 3 days and getting to hang out, and then every day a man runs up to you and gives you some curry, and then one of the 3 days
gives you a bottle of sake.
He's a bottle of sake made from two bugs,
made of bugs.
And then he goes and he's like, "Yeah, also I've got my slaves working here. this curry was made by slave labor, by like a funny man in a swimsuit and a silly gardener."
A guy in a bear costume with a baseball bat.
You look over, and the guy who gave you the bug sake is just swinging at piles of ever regenerating trash with a baseball bat. You're like, what is going on here?
He's so cheery, you know. He gives me a Hang Ten sign every morning, and then hands me a bento box. Great.
You know, I came here back when it was only a 4-star resort, and there was a pile of garbage that was the size of a mountain. But now it's a 5-star resort, and that pile is gone.
So it's gone. Great. You know, it's pretty cool. Really, they do still have all these smaller ones everywhere, though. That's kind of.
Also, I can't go up and down stairs, and I can't go through that cave. It's really weird.
Well, I can go downstairs. Like, if you put houses up on the hills, they will go down. I put one on the hills. I have some on the hills, and I have one on the lighthouse area that's also up the stairs. They will then filter down into the plaza.
Oh, they won't go up the stairs, though, I've noticed.
They won't go up the stairs. Because I tried to put... Yeah.
That's so weird. And then here's one from friend of the show.
Yeah, they will not go through the cave, though, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's too many bugs in there. It's scary.
There's too many bugs. There's a lot of bugs.
Friend of the show, Dan, at Bigger Challenge. Well, I said at Bigger Challenge on Twitter. I don't know if Dan is still on Twitter. Dan says, which minigame would you most like to do in real life? This doesn't include arcade games. And then as a second question, there's three questions here. Let's just do them one at a time.
Yeah.
Argyle, which minigame would you most want to do in real life?
What minigame would I want to do in real life? Thinking.
Maybe it's just like recency bias, but I would fucking love to just crazy delivery. If I have the skills. I have the skills to not break my head open, just doing flips and riding around on a bike would be pretty fun. Or CanQuest would be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, those are two very similar minigames. Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to just, like, drive a taxi around
city. The taxi driving.
You can talk to people and, you know, get to know them and have people, like, I have to take a shit in your taxi right now. Please help. That would be fun.
That'd be nice. Hunting wild game. Bears.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to talk about that when we get to 5.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole fucking thing.
The whole
damn thing. Dan also wants to know, which arcade game would you most want to try out? So, like, specifically on the cabinet. So, I guess, like, emulators. Man, I don't usually hang out in the arcade that much. I've never, like, I always do it, like, once or twice just for, just for fun. I guess I would want to play, like, Outrun or Super Hang-On.
Yeah,
just,
Outrun like, or Hang-On, that would be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the big thing. You tilt the bike left and right. That's cool. It's in 8, and it's really fun. I really like Spike Out. I think I'd want to try Spike Out on a cabinet. Or, I don't know if Sega Bass Fishing has, like, a... Does it have, like, a special controller? If it does,
I think it probably has a special peripheral. Sega Bass Fishing kind of sucks. I'm not a fan of it.
I like it. I think it's pretty fun. I figured it out. Like, I've got it.
And then, last question is, which arcade in the series has your favorite interior? And High Tech Land from Zero and Club Sega are different arcades. This is a hard question.
I think I want to say the Club Sega and the Dragon Engine in Theater Square.
That one's really nice.
They have the second floor. Like they have two entrances to it in like the Judgment, rail shooter. They do. Yeah, they've got Camaro of the Dead up there. I really like that iteration of it.
I'm gonna fucking zag on you right now.
Oh yeah,
Club Charles. Because Club Charles in the game is like retro vintage arcade cabinets. And if you go there, you might get to meet Yagami and Kaito.
Yeah. They've got the Gachapon machines.
Like, you don't ever get to actually play games in Charles, but I do like that it's like a weird kind of hobbyist, like retro arcade. One of my favorite places I've ever visited is, if you ever go to Las Vegas, there's the, what's it called? It's the Pinball Hall of Fame, which is quarter play, just like retro. It's down to like the oldest pinball machines you've ever seen. Like, they're all totally analog.
Hell yeah.
And then they have like everything up to like the last gasp of pinball from like the early 2000s. And they have retro arcade games. They have like these vector graphics Star Trek game. It's fantastic. It is a really fun place to visit. I highly recommend it. And that's kind of what Charles reminds me of. It's like, I want to go play these old ass games.
Yeah.
With like bells and stuff inside them. Those are all of our questions. Let's wrap this episode up, shall we?
Let's wrap this shit.
Thank you all very much for listening. We are on the Noise Space Podcast Network, noisebase.xyz. Lots of great shows on there. You do Pod of Greed. I do Dr. Huh. Also, check out fucking Special Great Snacks is about Jujutsu Kaisen. Check that one out.
Yeah, check it out.
Argyle, where can we find you on the internets?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Argyle_Funk. I don't post, but I'm there.
There.
And as you said, yeah, I host Pod of Greed. That's P-O-D of Greed. We're currently talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds over there, and it's pretty good. It remains good for the time being. We're, you know, getting into a new arc, kind of setting things up, but I still really like the show.
You can find me on Tumblr at kiwamibreakfast.tumblr.com. I forgot my URL for a second. We're also on Tumblr at kamarocharadio.tumblr.com, and you can find me on Doctor Huh podcast, where we watch Doctor Who in a random order. It's the funniest and most valid and correct way to watch Doctor Who. It continues to pay off week after week.
So you said, yeah?
Yeah. It's just endless surprises and endless funny coincidences. So check that out. So thank you all very much for listening. We'll be back with the last chapter, the grand finale of Yakuza 4. We'll see you next time. So thank you for listening. And as always,
Kiwami means extreme. Bye.